Hello, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC.
Well, I can't believe 2007's over. PC was a great year, though, huh, buddy?
Not really.
What do you mean?
I came out with Vista. That didn't work very well. Some people are downgrading to XP. Meanwhile, you come out with your new operating system, Leopard, a new iMac, lots of new iPods. Oh, the iPhone. I almost forgot the iPhone.
Right.
It was a terrible year. But next year, looking forward to the future, 2008 is going to be the year of the PC.
That's a great attitude, PC. What do you got planned? What are you going to do?
I'm just going to copy everything you did in 2007.
The best 30 plus minute app conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. Joining me today, his New Year's resolutions include living in a van down by a river near you, jumping off cliffs and trying not to die, and tanning his chest pelt until it reaches a beautiful golden hue. Buster Heine is here.
Hey, say what's up to your boy.
I just got a vision of that golden pelt in my mind. It's glorious.
Yeah.
Glorious. You know, you need to go for that level 5 tan where
level 5 your tan.
It's the ultimate level. There are no levels higher than that. Where your nipples you just can't even see them on your torso because it's the exact same color as your skin.
Dude, that sounds like some Jersey Shore type of tanning levels. I don't know if I could reach that.
You got to do it with some strategy. You have to get that that tanning oil and just work it in deep.
Yeah.
I mean, as deep as it goes. Just rub it, massage it, and then you got to lay out in the sun for 5 to 7 hours a day, maybe on top of your van.
Some dedication.
It's going to take some serious dedication. But think about the level of achievement you could have in your life if you reached that tan. You could probably be in the next Baywatch as a stand-in for David Hasselhoff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a huge career move for you.
I just don't have the hair on the top. I could always do, like, a hair transplant, though. Take some from the chest.
Yeah.
Put it on the dome.
Oh, my gosh.
Girls now, might like
that
it.
That would be a glorious look.
Yeah.
So rich and thick, too. You'd be a blonde, too, after it was all golden.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Just something to consider. Just put it out there for you. I mean, what lady does not like David Hasselhoff?
Dude, like lame ones.
He's the ultimate specimen.
Gen Z girls, they probably don't like David Hasselhoff. But
I thought Gen Z was really into chest hair. I heard they more than other generations. Oh yeah,
dude, I'm gonna Google this because
wait till after the show because that's some deep reading that's gonna send you down a road. So, LK, aka the Gov, he couldn't be here for whatever reason. He didn't even bother to say why. He just didn't show up.
He's going to Spain tomorrow, so he's like, whatever.
Yeah, he just tuned out. And then Lewis is in Italy. So they're not able to join us for our last show of the year, our last show of 2018, a whole nother year of shows behind us. 2019, wide open. Just think of all the amazing content that we're going to make in 2019 that we very clearly did not make in 2018. So we have a whole new opportunity. Before we dive into this week's show, and there's a lot of stuff to talk about, believe it or not, we've put together a pretty banging show, if I do say so myself. Let me give a quick thanks to Ops Genie for supporting this episode. Incidents happen, and they require complex coordination between operations and software development teams who are putting out fires every day. That's why getting alerts immediately is critical. Thankfully, there's Ops Genie by Atlassian. Ops Genie empowers dev and ops teams to plan for service disruptions and stay in control during incidents. It also gives teams the power to respond quickly and efficiently to unplanned issues and helps to notify all the right people through a smart combination of scheduling and escalation paths that account for things like time zones and holidays. Better yet, Ops Genie allows for deep flexibility in how, when, and where alerts are deployed with over 200 integrations like Jira, Amazon CloudWatch, Datadog, New Relic, and more. Plus, it tracks all activity and provides useful insights to improve future incident responses. Dude, I know a guy who's on one of these technology teams. He's got to wear a pager for when things go wrong. A pager.
Really?
Can you believe that? Because when things break, and I won't tell you who he works for. He's not a doctor. I won't tell you who he works for because it's a major corporation. You would know them. And I was thinking, there's got to be a better way than a freaking pager. Well, if you run a website or some high-end piece of technology, you know things break, especially over the holidays. You have to have a way to get a hold of people and make sure there's a plan in place. That's exactly what OpsGenie allows you to do. With OpsGenie, your next incident doesn't stand a chance. Visit OpsGenie.com to sign up for a free company account and add up to 5 team members. That's OpsGenie.com. Never miss a critical alert again with OpsGenie.com. Okay, here's what we're doing. We're going to talk about our favorite Apple gadgets of 2018. Apple had a banging year this year. Well, their iPads did. Their iPhones did. HomePod did. But Max, I'm going to go out and say
Max got a little cold shoulder.
It was kind of a disappointing year for Max. And I'm going to tell you why. This is my opinion.
They did get a little bit of love, though. I mean, we got a new Mac Mini this year, which is crazy.
And we got the Mac Pro, got a serious upgrade. So it wasn't all bad news, but I'm going to tell you why I still think it was disappointing. And hopefully these things will be remedied in 2019. And we're also going to do our favorite What We're Into's of 2018. This is one of my favorite segments because we get to talk about things that aren't necessarily technology related. And we had some wild ones this year. This is probably one of the best years for What We're Into's. We had a wild ride with MoviePass, which we, of course, have to mention here at the end of the show. And I've got some video games on here. I got a movie. I got a television show. Things that I absolutely loved in 2018. Just all my favorite stuff that wasn't really tech-related. So before we do that, I got to say, last week I had mentioned that we're going to be doing a special announcement this week. I got to push it back to next week. So this is another quick announcement about an announcement that's coming next week. I had to get some components in order here. I was trying to get things. I was trying to get it all buttoned up. And I just, with the holidays and all the family time, I just didn't have time to do it. And then with the show and the power outage just about killed me. The power in Colt Command Center was out for two and a half days.
Really?
Last week. If you guys followed me on Twitter, you saw I had to post the show from a grocery store at like 1:30 a.m. in the morning because they were the only ones in the area that had power, and it was a nightmare. Dang. But so that set me back. Anyway, big announcement coming next week. It's in regards to our seventh year of Colt Casting. We've been doing this for almost 7 years. Our anniversary is coming up, and we're going to do something special for our anniversary, and I think you guys are going to like this idea, so
spoiler.
We'll talk about that next
It involves
week.
Matching butt tattoos.
Dude,
right?
I asked you not to bring that up. I'm getting the C-U-L. You're getting the T-A-S-T. And we're going to have one of those, like those photo shoots at the mall that document the entire thing. Uh-huh. It's going to be very high quality, very tasteful. We're both getting waxes. It's going to be a wild ride for you guys all. We're going to do the announcement next week. So more on that to come. Sorry I had to push it back, but we'll talk about that later. Okay. Let's talk about all the great stuff and disappointing stuff that happened in the world of Apple this year. Ooh, let me just run through these real fast, and then we'll do our favorite Apple gadgets of 2018. First of all, for iPhones, iPads, Apple Watch, HomePod, banging year. Banging year. We got new iPads with upgraded specs. These are the lower-end models. Apple Pencil support and a lower price. And they're great iPads. I think for most people, they're exactly what you need. Then we got the new iPad Pros with the Monster 8-core A12X Bionic chips with laptop-level power, the new magnetic Apple Pencil, Face ID, larger screens, smaller form factors. I've been doing some sketches with my new Apple Pencil. Did you see my Dr. Disrespect sketch on my Twitter account, Buster?
I can't say I did.
The mustache alone is Da Vinci-level artwork. I mean, there's probably like 1,000 strands that I put in there. Every one of them is perfectly placed. And as I was making the mustache, I could just feel my left hand just getting veinier and veinier and veinier. By the end of it, it just looked like a weightlifter's hand. It was just covered in veins. So powerful. It's a beautiful piece. I absolutely love my Apple Pencil. I wasn't really sure if I was going to actually use it because I'm not an illustrator, but I've always been interested in illustrating just as a hobby, you know, and I've been loving it. Then we also got the HomePods, one of the best Apple devices in a long time. And the team working on these Apple Music accessories, I think, is doing a bang-up job. And I think the big news about these are routinely selling for $250 now. The official price is still $350, but, I mean, how many sales did we see of HomePod over the holidays? I think probably 3 or 4, and they're selling them for $250 a piece now. So, dude, they're totally worth $250 a piece. I have two of them on my desk. I still love them. I still use them pretty regularly. They sound incredible. They put you in this envelope of music that just encompasses and surrounds you, and you can't even tell where the music is coming from. They've got great bass. $250 a speaker, I think that's a very fair price, and that was one of the highlights of the year, in my opinion. But, Buster, it was IMO. You guys might disagree. A very disappointing year for the Macs. Let me tell you why. IMacs. We haven't gotten new IMacs since June of 2017. I mean, what is Apple doing? Why are they incapable of releasing Macs in some type of consistent basis? They have them all over the place. You just never know when they're going to get released. And any Mac that hasn't been updated in a year or more, I think, is a disgrace. It's an embarrassment for Apple.
True.
The industry moves so fast. Apple has got to commit to updating their Macs in at least a yearly fashion in order to keep me happy. And I know that's one of Tim Cook's goals. No iMac Pro update. The last time it was updated was December 2017. Here we are, another year later. No updates. The MacBook Air was upgraded with a Retina display and the Thunderbolt 3 ports / USB-C ports. That was great. I was happy to see that, but a 20% higher price tag. Now, MacBook Pro had a huge year, and it finally got the 6-core Coffee Lake processors, which we had been waiting for years. But Apple then went and screwed us by majorly updating the GPUs a mere 3.5 months after releasing that model. So if you bought one of the original MacBook Pros, you were pretty much outdated instantly, and the price of the resale value of your MacBook Pro dropped because Apple went and released better models 3.5 months after you purchased yours. Now let's talk about the Mac Mini that you mentioned just a moment ago. I really like the Mac Mini. I think it's probably a really good machine for developers, but Apple, I think, intentionally hobbled the machine by putting one of the worst GPUs they could have possibly put inside of it. Why did they not put something decent, like maybe the Intel Iris GPU? No, they put an Intel, I think they put the 630 in there, which is a horrendous piece of poo and ruins the entire machine. And I think the reason they did this is because they know that if they put an actual decent GPU in, no one's going to buy the iMac, because a lot of people would just BYO screen, BYO keyboard. And the Mac Mini, in all other regards, is a great little machine. If they just added the GPU, I think it would take a big old bite out of the butt of the iMac, and they don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And they also gave it a terrible chip, a CPU on the base end. They give it an i3 without hyperthreading. I can't even think of another chip that doesn't have hyperthreading. Hyperthreading is the ability for the CPU to basically double its cores. It virtualizes the cores and allows you to run like 8 processes on a 4-core chip. Well, this chip doesn't do that. So no hyperthreading, which was another bad move. And overall, I feel like Apple continues to cheap out on their base devices by offering low SSD storage amounts, like 128 gigabytes on a MacBook Air.
It's embarrassing.
It's
in 2018.
What? In 2018.
How would you not have 1 terabyte as your base? Maybe 512. Maybe 512. But I feel like if you're giving anybody less than half a terabyte, you're being a stingy asshole.
Like, well said. Yeah, I feel like 256 for the prices that they're asking is a bare minimum. Oh. And even that, I think, is too low. And I guess my justification is the price. Apple keeps raising their prices, and these are considered premium devices. These are not mid-level machines. I mean, you can spend $1,500 on a PC and get one that's decked out, you know, all across the board. And then a MacBook Air comes with 256 or 128 gigabytes of storage. It's like, what? They need to stop this nickel and diming BS. I know I'm pissing some people off. They don't like it when I make these comments. But I feel like we try to be fair on this show. Don't you think? We're not just some... Yeah. As one of the people in the Cultimac video YouTube thread said, we're not just an Apple ass-licking man. that's what he called me.
Called you an Apple ass-licker?
He said when I was talking about why I bought the iPhone XR, he said something along the lines, and I'm paraphrasing, I remember the exact verbiage, but it was very eloquent. He said, how can I trust this Apple ass-licking man? And I was like,
Fair enough.
That's cool. That's cold-blooded. He went straight for the ass-licking on that.
You know, I feel like we give Apple more shit than most Apple fans, so...
I do, too. I feel like there are no shortage of Apple podcasts and websites out there that will just not say anything negative about Apple. Now, fans, which is why we are willing to criticize them, I think, because we got to keep them honest.
Like, you know, even John Gruber criticizes Apple. If you want somebody that's not going to criticize Apple, go listen to Rene Ritchie's, you know? like there's definitely no shortage of fanboys just trying to get a handout from Apple for saying nice things to them. We don't get any handouts from Apple, so we can say whatever we want.
One of the things that Apple does with a lot of these people, and I'm not criticizing this, I just think that people are often... They often don't realize what kind of effect getting early access does to their opinions or getting loaners before the device has been released. It does impact you, and it impacts what you're willing to say. And I fully admit it probably does that to me, too. When you get things that you want to review or when you get things before other people get them, on Amazon, you'll often see reviews that say, I received this product for free, but in no way does it impact my opinion. Dude, yes, it does. Yeah. Yes, it does. It definitely impacts your opinion because you got it for free. You didn't spend your own money. And so
you're not as pissed off about some little things.
Right. Exactly. If something goes wrong with it, you just don't care as much because you didn't pay for it.
Yeah.
So if you had to spend your own money or if you weren't worried that you might be denied early access in a future review, you might be more willing to be more sharp in your criticism and you don't round the corners off and say, instead of saying, hey, this thing sucks, you might say, here's what they can do better in the future, right? You're just more careful to tailor your criticism in that way.
Yeah.
Anyway, where are we going with this?
I don't know.
I think that's all of my disappointing Mac stuff.
Oh, just the Mac was disappointing. Right.
Yeah.
Which, I wouldn't disagree. I didn't buy a new Mac this year because none of them were great, and I've been wanting to buy a new Mac for the last 2 years. So that's got to be some part of sign, you know?
Next year's our year. Next year's our year, Buster.
Dude, that's the year
we're going to get new iMacs, new iMac Pros.
We're going to get a $1,200 MacBook Pro that's, like, really good, or so that's what I'm hoping for.
Maybe one with ports.
Yeah.
Yeah, it will have a single core Intel chip, just one core. It will have one port on the side, just one Thunderbolt port, and that will be it. Okay, but enough complaining. Well, enough honesty. Let's talk about our favorite Apple gadgets of 2018. Buster, would you mind going first? Because I've been talking a whole lot.
It's really hard for me to say this because I didn't really buy a lot of Apple gadgets this year. I think I only bought one, really, and it was the iPhone XS Match. And the tennis match is really good, and I love it, and it's the most beautiful phone that Apple's ever created in my lifetime. But I really regret buying it. Well, yeah. Most beautiful phone Apple's created, for sure, hands down.
And what about the actual features of the phone, besides it just being gorgeous? Like, which one stand out to you?
None. And so that's why I really regret not buying the XR. Like, I think like the last like week I've really had some buyer's remorse and I'm just like, why did I pay $500, $600 extra for a tennis match? I don't know.
Right. Cause which model did you get?
The XS. Yeah. Probably 256. So
256. Right. So 1250.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, really should have bought an XR. So
yeah, I have a hard time spending that much money on a phone, which is one of the reasons why I went to the 10R, and if you guys haven't watched my video on Cult of Mac, it's probably one of the most popular videos I've ever done. I think we're at like 260,000 views so far. And some people agree with me, and some people are just lighting my ass on fire because they can't believe that I would ever, you know, say anything negative about the XS Max. The XS Max is an amazing phone, but for the price, I just can't get myself to spend that amount of money on a phone. I just $1,250 for a phone, man. That's what I used to spend on a laptop.
Yeah. And you know, like Lewis has said, like, you justify it by saying, oh, well, if I'm on a payment plan, like, it's only $50 a month, whereas it would be $30 a month for the cheaper phone. Like, 50 versus 30 is not that much. But then over time, like, yeah. Don't buy the XS Max if that's what you're thinking about doing, people. I would tell you right now, just get the XR. In many ways, it's better, you know?
Well, you don't have to convince me because it's on my list right here. The iPhone XR. I will say this was – I picked two things, and it was very tough because Apple had a – I think overall they had a good year. They had a lot of great devices this year. I spent way too much money on Apple gadgets this year, although not as much as I probably would have liked to. But with the prices getting as high as they are, I'm like, geez, we're going to have to start a GoFundMe or something just to afford these Apple products. But the XR is, just like Buster said, it's an amazing phone. So here are the notes that I took. I just jotted down some of the things I love about it. The largest leap forward on any iPhone camera ever. And I know that sounds like hyperbole. I really mean that. The camera is the winning feature of this phone. It's incredible. And I think it's even better than the XS Match. Because it has the wide-angle portrait mode, which I love and I actually use. And then it has the Smart HDR, just like the XS, XS Max, which works well. I said this last show, and I had somebody reach out to me on Twitter, and they're like, dude, you can't possibly mean that it's better than a DSLR. And I'm like, that's not what I said. What I said was the video and images coming out of the XR are sometimes more pleasing than a DSLR. And I think that's because the Smart HDR is opinionated. It's able to create photos and videos in situations that a DSLR would not do well in. And it's able to take those photos and videos and create better skin tones, better shadows and highlights that are softer and more even. And so it creates an opinionated photo. It's like, here's what it thinks the photo should look like instead of here's what it actually looked like when you were in that situation, which you don't, you said that you don't necessarily like, but I don't mind it, and I think that Apple is smart because most people probably don't care about what the photo should look like. They just want to see themselves looking good. Fewer wrinkles, fewer blemishes, even skin tone.
I have a friend who has a XR who just the other day was like, Buster, do you know that they're like putting some beauty filter on my selfies with this phone? I look way better with this phone, and it's pissing me off. So...
Ugly I am. My nose is crooked. I'm covered with zits. And this phone is making me far too attractive to the opposite sex. It's like, oh, dude, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Apple will have to refund your money for making you look too good.
Yeah.
That's one of the strangest criticisms I've ever heard leveled against Apple. But there have been many instances since I've owned the XR where I have decided to take it instead of my brand new Fuji X-T3 because it fits in your pocket. You always have it with you, which is the best camera to have, right? Because it's just always there, so you'll actually use it. And then, dude, it takes beautiful pictures of people. It really does. And then the face detection, you know, like it automatically will focus on people. Okay, let me run through the rest of these real fast because I have to get to my second pick here. Size. It's the perfect size. Fits perfectly in the hand, but you can still get it into your skinny jeans. That's the thing about the Max, y'all. So big, can't get it into your pocket. And it's hard to hold, you know, and the XR, you can still hold with one hand, but you still get that extra screen real estate. It has all the best features of the XS Match, in my opinion. It's got the A12 Bionic. It has got the same camera system. It's got Face ID. Now it's missing Force Touch, or I should say 3D Touch, but I never used that. I literally have not missed it once since I've owned this phone. So, you know, it has all the best features, but, you know, it's only $750, so what is that? At least $250 less than the XS, and $350 less than the XS Max. But I got the 128 gig version, which they don't even make in the other two models of the phone. You have to go all the way up to 256, which I don't need. And I will also say this. It's a real beauty. I think the XS Max, the design of it, it's just too shiny. It's too blingy.
Too
it's
nice
got that ugly-ass camera nodule on the back, which I could never get used to. And this one, it has that beautiful glass and aluminum finish. I love it. Okay. Let's move on. Apple Watch Series 4. I finally got it, wearing it on my wrist right now. Oh, it's paying attention
nice.
To me. And boy, what a night and day difference between this and my Series 0. Of course, obviously. But I love it. Now, I've only had it for like 4 days, so I'm still kind of getting used to it. But what do I like about it? So it's the way the Apple Watch should have always been. They have polished this version like a fine diamond. It's been around so long. Apple finally figured out how to configure the OS, and they know how the buttons should be mapped out. They kind of know what the features should be. I mean, do you remember how wacky the first generation Apple Watch was? They touted 3D touch or digital touch as one of the marquee features. I mean, what a weird, bizarre feature is that to market on stage in front of millions of people where you can like digitally touch someone else who's wearing the watch. Now it actually has genuine functionality, like all the sports and health stuff or the fitness and health stuff. And the apps are well integrated with the iPhone. And now that they've had time to work on it over all these years, there have been little gems that have been added, like the haptic haptic feedback for the digital crowns. Now when you roll the digital crown, if you're going through a list or something, you get these little clicks that happen inside of the digital crown. It's little stuff like that that they've baked in that just makes it feel more like a complete device. And of course, the big feature, literally, the larger screen, it's nice because you can include complications in the corner, but it also means that you can get a smaller watch. So I actually went with the 40 millimeter over the 44 because the 40 millimeter screen-wise is about the same size as my previous Apple Watch. So because that screen was so small and boxy, so you get a smaller watch with the same screen real estate. And I have to say, the screen, the customization of the screen gives the watch a form of beauty that it never had before. And the only way I could give you a visualization for this is if you compare an original iPhone to something that's out today. Just the level of polish and customization that Apple has integrated into the new devices makes it feel more like an Apple device and not a device that was slapped together with a bunch of third-party components, which is what the original Apple Watch felt like. So it just feels like a more thoughtful, useful device now. It has vastly better battery life, and it's so fast that you'll actually end up using it. I use mine all the time now, especially the Raise to Speak Siri functionality, because it's just boom, 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 instantly on, always waiting for you to tell it what to do, unlike the Series 0, which was awful and terrible, and I kept expecting to get better and faster, and it never did. I think that this device is quickly becoming one of my favorite Apple gadgets of the year. But again, I just got it, so I got to get my hand on some more bands. I have to use it more and figure out what I'm actually going to use it most for, because I'm not quite sure exactly what its marquee features are going to be for me yet. But so those are my two favorites of the year. I got to say, I almost picked the iPad because the iPad Pro,
looks
pretty
nice.
It's sparkly. It's delicious. It's got that big old screen, and I use it probably even more often than I use my Apple Watch. But aside from Face ID and a larger screen, the iPad Pro, it didn't really change that much from the last generation. I mean, the Apple Watch got the biggest overhaul, and I feel like it's the biggest improvements out of Apple's gadgets this year. So it's kind of easy to pick that one. So they're our favorite Apple gadgets of 2018. Did we miss something? Are we wrong about our gadgets? Let us know on Twitter. I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. Buster's at B-S-T-3-R. We want to hear what you think, especially if you think we're wrong.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like, what would we have missed? Maybe AirPower? Oh, wait, no.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not here yet. Oh, that's it's almost 2019, and we still don't have that. That means that by the time they announce that, it's going to be like
2 years later, finally.
hey, fellas, remember when we announced Air Power? Everybody's going to be like, yep.
First, they're going to have to remind us what it was before they officially release it. Okay. Before we continue, let me give a quick thanks to Finn for supporting this episode. If you look at your calendar first thing in the morning and you think, dudes, there is no way I'm getting all this done, then it's time to get help from Finn. Don't spend your time recruiting, training, and managing an assistant. Finn can do it all. Use Finn to schedule meetings with coworkers or clients, answer calls, handle travel plans for your business trips, even find and book service providers to fix things around your office or home, or to prospect new business opportunities for you. Finn does everything a great assistant can do without the cost and commitment of a full-time hire. And if you're someone who doesn't have 40 hours of work every week, you only pay for what you use. Finn is available 24/7, 365 days a year. They're your virtual online assistants. They can do it all for you. Now, here's how it works. They give you a phone number that you can call or text. They give you an email address that you can ping, and you can just reach out and say, hey, Finn, make me a doctor's appointment, or I'm looking to buy my wife a nice pair of shoes. What are some popular brands that I should be considering? They can even go out and do your shopping for you. They have this vault that you can store all of your passwords in. And once you have that set up, they can actually go into your online accounts and do literally whatever you need them to do. Maybe you're a person that has work pushes every once in a while and you just don't have time. You need some help here and there. Maybe you're moving and you need someone to help you manage your life while you're doing that. Finn can do all that stuff for you. They are your virtual army of assistants, and they can literally do anything that you need them to do. And they can save you up to 10 hours a week. I know they will help you be more productive if you'll give them a chance. They can also help you grow your business. They're so confident that you'll like the service. They're giving you a free $60 credit. And I always say, try it out. It's free $60 worth of work. There's no reason not to try it. Head to finn.com/cultcast. That's FIN.com/cultcast. You'll get a $60 free credit at that URL. And you can try it for free and put them to work for you. See how you like it. Finn.com/cultcast. Okay, Buster.
Oh, hey.
Let's take it home. Our favorite What We're Into's of 2018.
Okay.
Do you have something you want to start with, or should I go ahead?
Dude. Yeah, you go ahead. Dude, go ahead.
I feel like you got
way more than I do.
I got a Goliath. I got a mega pick. You all knew it was coming. This was the year of MoviePass, the service we all knew wouldn't last. And I gotta say, it wasn't just MoviePass that I loved. I loved talking about MoviePass because the saga is so bizarre, and it was such a great story. It just kept going up and down and left and right, and it's still not even over. MoviePass was sending me emails over Christmas saying, you know what the best Christmas gift would be? It would be a new T-Mobile line. And they weren't even trying to sell me MoviePass. They were trying to sell me a T-Mobile line of service. And they were giving me a credit with a code like MoviePass or something to sign up for T-Mobile. I'm like, this is getting so sad. Like, not only are you not selling MoviePass to me in this email, you're trying to sell me T-Mobile. What are you guys doing over there? So it was a lot of fun talking about the MoviePass saga, but then again, the movies. MoviePass allowed me to see so many movies in the movie theater over the year. I don't even know how many I saw. I would say maybe 30 while I was using the service. And I love the movies. I love going to the movies, but you don't go because it's expensive. It's $14, $15 a pop in Seattle, and most movies just aren't worth it to me to go see them at the theater. I'd rather just wait and see them at home. But with MoviePass, it churned the theater into my living room. So I would just pop in every now and again, go see a flick. And I would also get movie rewards for going to see movies as often as I did. So I would get free popcorn and snacks and stuff. I was like, this is great. I would just pay $10 a month to see unlimited movies and get free snacks and stuff. I mean, what an absolutely insane service, insane deal. And they're still going. I don't know what they're doing right now, but MoviePass is still trying to stay in business. And then it bred a whole slew of copycats, which we'll see if any of those actually stick around. But if anything else, that will be the great contribution of MoviePass, is forcing movie theaters to consider doing a flat fee for a all-you-can-watch or a limited selection of movie viewings per month.
I think they have.
I think like, so, yeah. Like AMC,
AMC
is still
doing
has
it. One, right, yeah. Yeah. And then Harkins, the theater chain out here in Arizona, they have like Harkins Reward Club or something. Like
so
you
they're
see
starting
so
to do it now too, huh?
Yeah, and it's like you see so many movies, then you get one free, stuff like that. So it's definitely changed some the way some theaters think about selling tickets, I think, for sure.
Well, my AMC now has raised the price of AMC stubs. I forget what they call it.
Really?
AMC stubs something. Yeah, they raised it to like 25 a month. It was 20. Oh, but you know, so they let you see 3 movies a week, which that's pretty generous.
Okay.
And actually, come to think of it, MoviePass, I think their base price now, they offer you tickets to movies, like a selection of movies every week. They don't even let you pick what movie you want to see. They say, here are the movies you can see this week. Do you want to see them? So it's totally lame.
Yeah.
And they just raised their prices. And then their competitor was called Cinemia. They just raised their prices and added in all these new fees. So I kind of wonder if this model is just too good to be true and if they'll never be able to actually make it work. Some of my other favorite What We're Into's of the year, the announcement that Captain Jean-Luc Picard will be helming a new Star Trek series.
Oh, yeah, that really got you going, huh?
That got me very excited. I've been excited about it ever since I heard it. And as a huge Star Trek fan, a huge Star Trek The Next Generation fan, I couldn't wait. I can't wait to have Patrick Stewart reprise his role as the very commanding, very sexy Jean-Luc Picard in a new Star Trek series. Oh, this is exactly what the franchise needs. For whatever reason, Star Trek, I feel like, has kind of become uncool in the last 20 years.
Yeah, it's, I don't know if it was ever really cool.
Maybe
to be
it wasn't.
With you.
Maybe it wasn't ever cool. But I loved Star Trek, and some of the franchises I loved more than others. And The Next Generation is beloved among most of the Star Trek fans that I know. It's some of the best Star Trek that you can get. And one of the prime reasons for that was Jean-Luc Picard. I mean, he was such a great character. And the cast of that show was so good. I'm sure that they'll have many of the people returning to that show, reprising their roles. And I'm excited about that. I forgot to mention another one of my picks. And I mentioned this in our favorite movies of 2018. And it's worth mentioning again, because there are some things that I forgot to say about it last time we talked about it. That was the movie Annihilation. And one of the other things I wanted to mention was, I didn't say this last time we spoke about this, it's one of the most pure and purely enjoyable sci-fi experiences I've had in cinema. I don't want to say ever, but I do mean ever. I mean, it's that good, I thought. If you like sci-fi, if you like the genre of sci-fi, this movie is great representation of what sci-fi can do. It doesn't try to appeal to everybody, which is what I feel like a lot of bad sci-fi does. It tries to make itself too marketable. And this movie was willing to say, we're going to be weird. We're going to have a weird ending. There's going to be parts of it that you don't understand. We're going to leave it out there with you to decide what you think happened in this movie. And we're just going to call it good and move on. And that is a hallmark of a great sci-fi movie. They don't try to clean it all up and make it all perfect and wrap it in a nice little bow and hand it to you and say, there you go, it's all perfect and pretty now. Make sure that you don't actually watch it because we don't want you to ruin it. It's a little messy. It's a little weird. It's eerie. It's strange. And it's not totally explained. It leaves a lot to your imagination. And that's one of the reasons I loved this movie. Okay, Buster, what's your pick?
Oh, man. I got, you know, some non-tech things.
Okay.
Tech things, like I would say, Boosted Board Mini X. Coolest.
Do you still have
thing.
It?
Yeah. Yeah.
You still got that. It.
Yeah. Good luck getting it back boosted. So that thing, so much fun. So much fun. Gosh.
How much is it? Fun.
I think it's $1,000, which is not cheap,
but
also
isn't
not
that, isn't
insanely
that how much their
expensive.
Normal boosted boards are?
The longer ones are like $1,400.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Boosted Mini X, so much fun. All my friends, they show up to my van. They don't even want to hang out with me. They're just like, oh, can I rip your boosted board? It's like, sure. I'll just be sitting here smoking some weed while you go
whittling.
And do that. Yeah.
All my friends want to ride my Boosted Board Mini X. They come to my van where I live and they say, hey, man, can I borrow your Boosted Board?
Tinker for a rip. All right. Cool. Okay. So that's one. Number two, wetsuits. Wetsuits are really cool. Finally bought my first like full body wetsuit this year.
Isn't that called a dry suit?
I guess some people call them dry suits. Well, no, because dry suits are different than wetsuits. Dry suits are usually what you use for rafting, like kayaking.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of completely keeps, I don't know, wetsuits are like tight on your body. You feel like a superhero.
Yeah.
Man, I bought one.
Looked very sexy too, I heard.
Yeah. Like, you don't even feel the cold water on you. If you're into cliff jumping, it's like, wow. It was a game changer for my cliff jumping season because I bought a wetsuit.
So when you jump in the water, it actually, you don't feel like you're cold right away? Is that kind of the idea?
Yeah, exactly. You don't feel like you're cold right away. Two, if you flop, like belly flop or back flop, and lose, you know, get your breath taken out, you're buoyant and you float, so you're not going to drown and die. So that's another thing. Wetsuits are really good because
the
that.
Neoprene makes you more buoyant.
Yeah, more buoyant.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay,
so that's awesome. Number three, finger bang. And it's not the type that you're thinking of.
Whoa!
I mean, it's an adult thing, but it's not like. So I have a friend who works at a marijuana grow operation. And
really?
He trims the weed with his hands, and so like they wear plastic gloves, and like, you know, you switch hand, like change out gloves like multiple times a day. What he does is like the coolest thing in weed. If anybody here,
he shakes
weed
off all the crystals and he sells them to his friends.
Yes, and it's just like the purest of the pure, and it's just
baby,
yeah. Find yourself a friend that can get you some finger bang. That's what we call it because it's just like. Almost psychedelic type of weed.
It's going to really make your brain bubble like that egg in that Dare commercial.
Yeah.
You just go bonkers and just but kick back and just drool.
Yeah, say no to drugs, but if you're going to, number four, pizzadillas. If you've ever had a quesadilla, think about
a
quesadilla only with spaghetti sauce and cheese.
A
game
pizza,
changer.
Pizzadilla?
Pizzadilla. Pizzadilla. Yeah.
So it's exactly like a quesadilla.
Exactly like a quesadilla, only you make it with pizza ingredients. And oh my God, it's amazing. It'll change your life too.
Wait a second. I'm confused. So is this like a quesadilla that you use pizza ingredients on, or are you making a quesadilla out of pizza?
Oh, well, it's a quesadilla that you're making pizza ingredients on.
Okay.
But...
I was going to say, because the whole pizza idea, wrapping it up like a taco, that's what I first thought you were saying.
That's
like,
not a bad idea either.
That's a game changer, too.
Yeah.
Now you're making me hungry.
I think they call those a calzone, though.
Is that what a calzone is? I guess if you see, that's exactly what a calzone is, isn't it? Come to think of it, all you gotta do is seal the edges, and you got yourself calzone.
Nice, yeah.
Isn't that funny though? They come up with all these names for things that are pretty much the exact same thing. They're just different shapes, you know.
Right.
So maybe I just invented something new. I don't know. Maybe I should patent it.
Dude, Pizza Hut wants it.
Sell that to Domino's. Okay, we got a boosted board mini X. We got wetsuits. We got finger banging. I mean, finger bang. Pizzadillas.
Pizzadillas.
Anything else?
I think that's about it. That's, you know, I have a very simple life now.
I know you do.
I watch a lot of movies and stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
I barely even have Wi-Fi.
What was one of your best movies that you saw this year?
Oh, well, I just saw Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, and that shit was good.
Like, the animated one.
Yeah.
That you guys made fun of me for not having heard about it last week.
Yeah, I don't know how you haven't. That shit was really
good. I went and watched the trailer for it on YouTube after we talked about that.
Yeah? And did you think it looked cool?
No. I'm going to wait until it comes out on Netflix or something.
I think you'll like it more than you expect, for sure.
Okay. I'm generally not into animated movies.
Okay.
That's not true. There are some animated movies that I do like, but I can't really say that I would pay $15 to go see an animated movie at the movie theater. Now, if MoviePass was in the equation, I'd go see it twice.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'll probably just wait.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I got one more.
Okay.
And I've talked about this on the show, but it's been one of the most purely enjoyable experiences that I've had of the year. It is a Nintendo Switch game. I don't actually think it came out in 2018, but maybe it did. It's Super Mario Odyssey, and it's one of the best Mario games that Nintendo has ever made. And I played this at PAX, the Penny Arcade Expo, which is a giant video game convention, in August. And actually, maybe it wasn't even out in August. I don't think it was. So it did come out in 2018. And I didn't really have very much fun. It was kind of weird. It was like I was running around the city, throwing on my hat, and I didn't really know what I was doing. And so I didn't think much of it. And then I ended up buying the game because people kept saying it was great and it was good and it was so much fun. So I bought it, and then I started it from the beginning, and then it explained the premise of the story, which is Princess Peach gets captured by Bowser. Bowser wants to marry her, but that's not going to work for Mario, because guess who wants to marry her? Mario. So he's got to go save the princess again. And you end up on this odyssey going throughout this world, and you have this ship, like this airship called the Odyssey. And you get to traverse all these lands chasing Bowser as he seeks out the accoutrement he needs for his wedding, because he's trying to throw this big ceremony. And it just highlights the wild creativity of the game designers at Nintendo. They are amongst the best in the world. There just isn't anyone that does it better than Nintendo does right now. They're having a renaissance. I've said this before. They are making the best video games they have ever made. They are making some of the best video games, period, that have ever been made. They made Breath of the Wild, Zelda Breath of the Wild last year, which was a masterpiece, one of the best games ever made. Mario Odyssey followed that up, also one of the best games ever made, one of the most purely enjoyable video games I've ever played. It's wildly imaginative, and it's the closest that you could get to having a Disney-level experience inside of a video game. Like, if you could package up that feeling that you get when you go to Disneyland and put it into a video game, it would be Super Mario Odyssey. Every time you play that game, you run into these spectacular creatures with these fun personalities and strange reactions to you throughout these different worlds. And it has the same level of polish that a Apple product would. Nintendo puts such great care into crafting these video games. They take into account all these interactions that you're having with these creatures and the landscape. As you're running through, you'll think to try something, and then you'll go do it, and it's like, well, wow, Nintendo figured out that you were going to try that, and they added some cool, you know, experience in that interaction that leaves you giggling, quite honestly, because it's just so much fun. And I've been playing it with my daughter. She's fallen in love with the franchise, and she loves Princess Peach, let me tell you. She always asks us to see her on my phone because we watch her on YouTube. When I'm not playing Super Mario Odyssey, I'm watching YouTube videos of Super Mario Odyssey on my phone with my daughter. and for Christmas, I got her a Princess Peach amiibo, which, if you're not familiar with what amiibo are, they're these little characters, like figurines from different Mario franchises that have a NFC chip on the bottom. And then when you touch the figure to the top of the controller, it will initiate some type of interaction or unlock some type of like outfit inside of the game. So you get like this physical digital interaction with this character. And She had like that, you know those videos you see of kids opening up their first Nintendo on Christmas and they just go insane. That was the reaction she had when she opened up Princess Peach on Christmas morning. It warmed my heart. It warmed my ice cold heart. And now we play together, and she touches her figurine to the top of my controller, and we play the game together. So all that to say, hats off to Nintendo. They've made some of the most enjoyable experiences that I've had, you know, across media in the last 2 years, and they just keep getting better. The Switch is one of the best consoles ever made, and Nintendo is making some of the best video games they've ever made or that have ever been made for the Switch, and I continue to enjoy those experiences day after day after day. I just beat the game, and I'm only probably 60% through. There's a ton of content left. You know, I probably dumped 50 hours into that game, and I have a lot more exploring to do, a lot more Power Moons to find, and I'm actually going to go through and do it all because I'm having so much dang fun. I think that's it, nice. Buster. I almost messed up your name. That's how excited I am about all the great stuff of 2018. But I think that's it. Do you have anything else you want to add?
I was going to say pack rafts. Pack rafts are cool. But other than that, yeah.
Pack rafts?
Yeah.
You mean like inflatable rafts that you use that you can pack up?
Yeah, and to the size of like a little Nalgene bottle. That was probably actually the coolest tech I used this year. Damn.
Are you kidding me?
I thought of that. Yeah.
Dude, wait. A pack raft, so like it's a little packable raft that you can
like
compactly put into like the size of it. What's that?
Yeah, like and hike with. It's like the size of like two water bottles or like two 20-ounce Cokes or something, and it packs up that tiny. But also, you can air it up into like a kayak for like white.
How do you how do you inflate it?
It has like a little bag. You know, have you ever seen those couches that you can like, it's like it's a long tube and you like fill it with air and like that and like fold up the ends? Have you seen those?
Yeah, yeah. I actually saw the inventor of that inflation mechanism on Shark Tank.
Yeah, it basically uses like one of those, only like a smaller version. You just push the air from that end of the thing. And then you can carry all of your gear inside the tube for the pack wrap. I don't know. CocoPelliPackWraps.com. Like,
man, the guy who invented that inflatable mechanism, he's making a killing.
Yeah.
We got to come up with an idea like that, dude, so we can just collect the royalties and just both live in a van together and just drive around.
Oh.
Do you mind if my family comes, though?
Yeah, you would need a bus. That's what I was going to say. You convert a bus.
How do you feel about babysitting?
Oh, jeez. That's every time
my kids will pull on your beard, it'll be a whole family experience for you.
Oh, my nieces and nephew just do that, and every time I'm just like, this is why I don't have kids. You guys are fun for 15 minutes, and then we're good. All right.
Eventually it grows on you, though.
A couple months. Yeah, I'm sure it does. Oh, isn't it adorable?
I'll keep trying to convince you of that, but let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That is our last show of 2018. I want to thank everyone who listens and who has listened for the last almost 7 years. Some of you have been with us from the very beginning. You know, it's been a wild ride, and we just appreciate you all, and we can't wait to meet with you again in the new year. Hopefully, you will be back and keep listening in 2019. Remember, big announcement coming next week. I think you guys are really going to like it, but that has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys. I got to do it. Next year.
Those jokes never get old.
The ultimate dad joke right there.
Yeah.
Dads everywhere make that joke. They wait all year just to make that one joke. 's on top of bucks.
Bucks on bucks.
Bucks on bucks. Speaking of Instagram, so Alex E. Heath posted a picture of his wife and his mom in the same picture. So I was like I was like, ooh, baby, mom is looking good. I left a little comment. I just said, hey, mom's looking real good. You tell her Papa E sends his regards, right?
You say anything?
And then I had some other Cultcast listeners start commenting on the same thing, and I went back in there to reply. He deleted all the comments.
Oh, no way. That's fucking hilarious. Don't delete me, Ethi.
He went through and he deleted all of them. He didn't want mom to see, because he knows.
That's
we got a sordid past, and he doesn't want to hear about it.
I mean, I feel like
you posted a picture of your mom on Instagram. You're just asking for the silly comments,
dude,
you know.
You cannot post a picture of your mom on social media and not expect someone to say something about having dated her at one point.
Yeah. Oh, and I even just found his mom on Instagram. Barb Wise Dove.
Yeah.
She getting that Buster follow. Ooh.
We should leave this in the show so everyone can go follow her. In fact, done. That's done right there.
Barb _ Wise Dove.
Did you see that picture of him and his mom when he was a kid and she's like holding him in her arms and they're both giggling?
No.
They look exactly alike.
Oh, this one. Okay. Yeah, there. Yeah. Wow. Oh, dang. Heathy.